Welcome to day 243 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries in Tustin, California. Today we are going to be reading Ezekiel chapters 16 and 17. We're reading this week from the New American Standard Bible. So beginning in chapter 16, I want to just forewarn you that if you are listening to this with your small children, you may want to omit the first part because chapter 16 has some very graphic imagery that would be almost R-rated in some cases, so it may not be appropriate for children under teenage years. So beginning at Ezekiel chapter 16 and starting at verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, make known to Jerusalem her abominations, and say, Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, Your origin and your birth are from the land of the Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. As for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloths. No eye looked with pity on you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for you were abhorred on the day you were born. When I passed by you and saw you squirming in your blood, I said to you, while you were in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, while you were in your blood, live. I made you numerous like plants of the field. Then you grew up, became tall, and reached the age for fine ornaments. Your breasts were formed and your hair had grown, yet you were naked and bare. Then I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love. So I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I also swore to you and entered into a covenant with you, so that you became mine, declares the Lord. Then I bathed you with water, washed off your blood from you, and anointed you with oil. I also clothed you with embroidered cloth and put sandals of porpoise skin on your feet, and I wrapped you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your hands and a necklace around your neck. I also put a ring in your nostril, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver. Your dress was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour, honey, and oil. So you were exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. Then your fame went forth among the nations on account of your beauty, for it was perfect because of my splendor which I bestowed on you, declares the Lord. But you trusted in your beauty and played the harlot because of your fame, and you poured out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing. You took some of your clothes, made for yourself high places of various colors, and played the harlot on them, which should never come about nor happen. You also took your beautiful jewels, made of my gold and of my silver, which I had given you, and made for yourself male images, that you might play the harlot with them. Then you took your embroidered cloth and covered them, and offered my oil and my incense before them. Also, my bread, which I gave you, fine flour, oil, and honey, with which I fed you, you would offer before them for a soothing aroma. So it happened, declares the Lord God. Moreover, you took your sons and your daughters, whom you had born to me, and sacrificed them to idols to be devoured. Were your harlotries so small a matter? You slaughtered my children and offered them up to idols by causing them to pass through the fire. Besides all your abominations and harlotries, you did not remember the days of your youth when you were naked and bare and squirming in your blood. Then it came about after all your wickedness. Woe, woe to you, declares the Lord God, that you built yourself a shrine and made yourself a high place in every square. You built yourself a high place at the top of every street and made your beauty abominable. And you spread your legs to every passerby to multiply your harlotry. You also played the harlot with the Egyptians, your lustful neighbors, and multiplied your harlotry to make me angry. Behold, now I have stretched out my hand against you and diminished your rations, and I delivered you up to the desire of those who hate you, and the daughters of the Philistines who were ashamed of your lewd conduct. Moreover, you played the harlot with the Assyrians because you were not satisfied. You played the harlot with them and still were not satisfied. You also multiplied your harlotry with the land of merchants, Chaldea. Yet even with this, you were not satisfied. How languishing is your heart, declares the Lord God. While you do all these things, the actions of a bold-faced harlot, when you built your shrine at the beginning of every street and made your high place in every square, in disdaining money, you are not like a harlot. You adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband. Men give gifts to all harlots, but you give your gifts to all your lovers to bribe them to come to you from every direction for your harlotries. Thus, you are different from those women in your harlotries, in that no one plays the harlot as you do, because you give money, and no money is given to you. Thus, you are different. Therefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because your lewdness was poured out and your nakedness uncovered through your harlotries with your lovers and with all your detestable idols, and because of the blood of your sons which you gave to idols, therefore, behold, I will gather all your lovers with whom you took pleasure, even all those whom you loved and all those whom you hated. So I will gather them against you from every direction and expose your nakedness to them, that they may see all your nakedness. Thus I will judge you like women who commit adultery or shed blood are judged, and I will bring on you the blood of wrath and jealousy. I will also give you into the hands of your lovers, and they will tear down your shrines, demolish your high places, strip you of your clothing, take away your jewels, and will leave you naked and bare. They will incite a crowd against you, and they will stone you and cut you to pieces with their swords. They will burn your houses with fire and execute judgments on you in the sight of many women. Then I will stop you from playing the harlot, and you will also no longer pay your lovers. So I will calm my fury against you, and my jealousy will depart from you, and I will be pacified and angry no more. Because you have not remembered the days of your youth, but have enraged me by all these things, behold, I in turn will bring your conduct down on your own head, declares the Lord God, so that you will not commit this lewdness on top of all your other abominations. Behold, everyone who quotes Proverbs will quote this proverb concerning you, saying, like mother, like daughter. You are the daughter of your mother who loathed her husband and children. You are also the sister of your sisters who loathed their husbands and children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. Now your older sister is Samaria, who lives north of you with her daughters, and your younger sister who lives south of you is Sodom with her daughters. Yet you have not merely walked in their ways or done according to their abominations, but as if that were too little, you acted more corruptly in all your conduct than they. As I live, declares the Lord God, Sodom, your sister, and her daughters have not done as you and your daughters have done. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had arrogance, abundant food, and careless ease, but she did not help the poor and needy. Thus, they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore, I removed them when I saw it. Furthermore, Samaria did not commit half of your sins, for you have multiplied your abominations more than they. Thus, you have made your sisters appear righteous by all your abominations which you have committed. Also, bear your disgrace in that you have made judgment favorable for your sisters, because of your sins in which you acted more abominably than they are more in the right than you. Yes, be also ashamed and bear your disgrace in that you made your sisters appear righteous. Nevertheless, I will restore their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, and along with them, your own captivity, in order that you may bear your humiliation and feel ashamed for all that you have done when you become a consolation to them. Your sisters, Sodom with her daughters and Samaria with her daughters, will return to their former state, and you with your daughters will also return to your former state. As the name of your sister Sodom was not heard from your lips in your day of pride, before your wickedness was uncovered, so now you have become the reproach of the daughters of Edom and of all who are around her, of the daughters of the Philistines, those surrounding you who despise you. You have borne the penalty of your lewdness and abominations, the Lord declares. For thus says the Lord God, I will also do with you as you have done, you who have despised the oath by breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. Then you will remember your ways and be ashamed when you receive your sisters, both your older and your younger, and I will give them to you as daughters, but not because of your covenant. Thus I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am the Lord, so that you may remember and be ashamed, and never open your mouth any more because of your humiliation, when I have forgiven you for all that you have done, the Lord God declares. Chapter 17. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, propound a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel, saying, Thus says the Lord God, A great eagle with great wings, long pinions, and a full plumage of many colors came to Lebanon and took away the top of the cedar. He plucked off the topmost of its young twigs and brought it to a land of merchants. He set it in a city of traders. He also took some of the seed of the land and planted it in fertile soil. He placed it beside abundant waters. He set it like a willow. Then it sprouted and became a low-spreading vine, with its branches turned toward him, but its roots remained under it. So it became a vine and yielded shoots and sent out branches. But there was another great eagle with great wings and much plumage. And behold, this vine bent its roots toward him and sent out its branches towards him from the beds where it was planted, that he might water it. It was planted in good soil beside abundant waters, that it might yield branches and bear fruit and become a splendid vine. Say, thus says the Lord God, will it thrive? Will he not pull up its roots and cut off its fruit, so that it withers, so that all its sprouting leaves wither? And neither by great strength nor by many people can it be raised from its roots again. Behold, though it is planted Will it thrive? Will it not completely wither as soon as the east wind strikes it? Wither on the beds where it grew? Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Say now to the rebellious house, Do you not know what these things mean? Say, Behold, the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem, took its king and princes and brought them to him in Babylon. He took one of the royal family and made a covenant with him, putting him under oath. He also took away the mighty of the land, that the kingdom might be in subjection, not exalting itself, but keeping his covenant that it might continue. But he rebelled against him by sending his envoys to Egypt that they might give him horses and many troops. Will he succeed? Will he who does such things escape? Can he indeed break the covenant and escape? As I live, declares the Lord God, surely in the country of the king who puts him on the throne, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he broke, in Babylon he shall die. Pharaoh with his mighty army and a great company will not help him in the war. When they cast up ramps and build siege walls to cut off many lives, now he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, and behold, he pledged his allegiance, yet did all these things. He shall not escape. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, As I live, surely my oath which he despised and my covenant which he broke, I will inflict on his head. I will spread my net over him, and he will be caught in my snare. Then I will bring him to Babylon and enter into judgment with him there regarding the unfaithful act which he has committed against me. All the choice men in all his troops will fall by the sword, and the survivors will be scattered to every wind. And you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. Thus says the Lord God, I will also take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and set it out. I will pluck from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the high mountain of Israel I will plant it, that it may bring forth boughs and bear fruit and become a stately cedar. And birds of every kind will nest under it. They will nest in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the field will know that I am the Lord. I will bring down the high tree, exalt the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will perform it. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's passages, we heard in chapter 16 of Ezekiel a very extended description of Israel being compared to an unfaithful wife or a prostitute, essentially saying that Israel, the people of Israel, instead of being faithful to God, as if God was the husband and Israel was the wife, instead of being faithful to God, that Israel, as if she was an adulterous wife or as if she was a prostitute, would go after anyone that came by down the highway. And the idea here is that they were spiritually adulterous. They would go and worship all these false gods, whatever came through town, whatever nation's influence was passing through, they would pick up on those idols or false gods and try those religious practices of idolatry. And by doing that, God compared Israel to a prostitute or to an unfaithful wife. And it's a very harsh description, and yet it's the way it really is in the spirit realm. And as Ezekiel 16 progressed toward the end, we heard the Lord telling Israel that she was more sinful than even her sisters, that Jerusalem was more sinful than Sodom or Gomorrah, two very infamously sinful cities that were judged very harshly by God to the point that they were destroyed by fire and brimstone coming out of heaven. And we've often heard, and it's quoted throughout the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New, that the sinfulness of Sodom came up before the Lord, and that God responded to that by this harsh judgment of fire and brimstone and destruction of the very city. But there's two verses in Ezekiel 16 about the city of Sodom that I want to bring to your attention. Verses 49 and 50 in chapter 16 of Ezekiel reads this way: "Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had arrogance, abundant food, and careless ease, but she did not help the poor and needy. Thus they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I removed them when I saw it." In the New Living Translation, it reads this way, and listen to the description of the sins. "Sodom's sins were pride, gluttony, and laziness, while the poor and needy suffered outside her door. She was proud and committed detestable sins, so I wiped her out, as you have seen." And then the Amplified Translation reads this way: "Behold, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom: pride, overabundance of food, prosperous ease, and idleness were hers and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abominable offenses before me. Therefore, I removed them when I saw it, and I saw fit." What I find interesting here is that the sins that God enunciates very clearly here in Ezekiel 16 does not start with the sin for which Sodom is most famous or notorious, the sin of a certain type of sexual immorality, but instead, the very first one that's mentioned is the sin of pride. And this is very interesting to me because if you think about it, pride is the sin that made Satan or Lucifer into Satan, made an angel into a devil. It is the sin that caused the Garden of Eden to become off limits to Adam and Eve. Pride was at the center of it. And this is the sin, you could say, that opens every other door of sin. Pride resists God. Pride thinks it knows better than God. And this is the sin that truly is the stepping stone to every other type of sin. The second one may be surprising to you. The sin that God points out here that was the sin of Sodom that brought on such destruction. Number two was gluttony, or abundance of food, or they were overfed. Different translations translate it this way, but the New Living Translation simply calls it gluttony. You know, Sodom, as described in the book of Genesis, when Lot first cast his eyes toward that city, which was down in a very beautiful, green, and verdant valley, and Abraham told Lot, "Look, just pick wherever you want to go. We need to separate. Our livestock can't coexist side by side because there's not enough places for them to range and eat the grass of the land. We need to separate." So he allowed Lot to choose, and Lot cast his eyes toward Sodom because that valley, the scripture tells us, was like the garden of the Lord. It was so rich, so beautiful, so fertile, so abundant in what it produced that becoming a glutton in that place because of overabundance of food would have been an easy sin to fall into. And that's one of the sins that Sodom is renowned for here in the book of Ezekiel. That God's saying, here's what their sins were, and you are worse than them. That's basically the message here in Ezekiel 16, 49 and 50. God was telling the Israelites, the people from Judah and from Jerusalem, that Sodom's sins were pride and gluttony and laziness and these other things, and you are worse than them. But let's continue to examine what it is that caused Sodom to be destroyed off the face of the earth, as revealed here in the book of Ezekiel. The next one that's listed after pride and gluttony is, according to the King James Version, abundance of idleness. The New Living Translation translates it as laziness, but I like the Amplified Bible when it says prosperous ease. They were so prosperous, things came so easy to them in the garden of the Lord, the land that was so easy to produce food and was fruitful, that the people of that area became idle. They just lounged about in prosperous ease. Things came easily to them. They didn't have to work very hard. Abundance of idleness became just part of their everyday life. And we know that idleness can definitely be an open door for sin to come in and bring temptation to come in, to fall into different types of sin. Because truly God has made man for work, for purposeful work, not just for work that means nothing, but for purposeful work. When God created Adam and Eve and gave them charge of the garden, he gave Adam a job. He was to tend the garden. There was purposeful work that God created man for. And so here we see that Sodom ended up in a situation where the people, the blessing of God, which was this very productive land, resulted in the people becoming lazy, idle, lounging about in prosperous ease, which really does open a door for other sin to come, present itself as temptation, and then it's easy to fall into that if you have no purposeful activity to pursue. And I tell you, in the United States and in many other Western countries, this could be a description of a lot of people and a lot of cities and a lot of places where there is much pride, where there is an overabundance of food, where gluttony and overeating and overdrinking and being overfed is just part of the landscape. And then being at ease, prosperous ease, or idle, and therefore open to the temptation that being idle will bring to your doorstep, it could be a description of our nation in the United States or of some other European nations as well. And we have to examine that and consider that, since these are the things listed that ended up being the very things that brought judgment and destruction on the city of Sodom. But to me, the very next one really gets my attention. It says, Sodom's sins were pride, gluttony, and laziness, while the poor and needy suffered outside her door. The other translations, including the New American Standard that we read today, said, but she did not help the poor and needy. It talks about having an abundance of food, careless ease, meaning you have time on your hands and you have an abundant supply, but you don't help the poor and needy. That was the sin of Sodom, according to the book of Ezekiel. They had abundance, they had time on their hands, but they didn't lift a finger to help the poor and needy. You know, I have heard people say, hey, the poor should get up and help themselves. They should work for their own. And they don't want to extend a hand to the poor and needy because their excuse is let them work for it themselves. You know, some people are in poverty not because of their own doing. Children, for example. Elderly people, for example. Many times poverty has come into their lives, or they've been born into it, and it is not their own doing. So to be callous and hard-hearted about the poor and needy is certainly something that grieves the heart of God Himself, to the point that it disgusted the Lord so much about Sodom that He had blessed them with abundance, He had made their lives so prosperous, and yet their reaction or their response to it wasn't gratitude for the blessing and seeking a way to be a blessing with their blessings, which is why God blesses people. Do you realize that God blesses you so you can be a blessing? Well, the people in Sodom didn't have any revelation about that. They were blessed abundantly. They had an abundant supply of food and of material items, and yet they did not help the poor and needy. And that is something for which they received judgment and literally were wiped off the face of the earth. The last two things mentioned here in verse 50 says, "Thus they were haughty and committed abominations before me." Haughty is a word that means prideful, but it has another element to it. Not only is the person proud of themselves and feels like they have it all going on and that they don't need God or anybody else, and they have a very overdeveloped sense of themselves, but the idea of haughtiness is that there's a boastfulness about it. You could say, one scholar put it this way, they were so proud of their sinfulness that they exported it to everyone around them and to other nations and those in the vicinity. You know, in the United States, we've been very good at exporting our sinfulness to other nations through the media and other methods. And that's a haughtiness when you think you have it so, you know what's up, you know what it is, you think you're the best at everything and you export your sinfulness. That's the sense that we get in this word haughty that's mentioned here. They were haughty and committed abominations before me. That word abominations there, the actual meaning is anything disgusting. Disgusting. The New International Version translated it detestable things. And within that category, you can place all the sexual immorality and perversions that Sodom was famous for and that are very prevalent in our modern society as well. For these things, Sodom was removed from the face of the earth through a very violent outpouring of judgment from the Lord. God was so disgusted with what He saw, with the pride, with the arrogance, with the gluttony and the overabundance of materialism, and yet they would not share with the poor and the needy, but were only concerned about enriching and indulging themselves. This is something we have to be very careful of in any modern society that has material prosperity, that we don't fall into the same sins that Sodom fell into in its day. God is speaking to us today as well. We do live in a prosperous generation where truly the nations are more prosperous than at any time in history. And yet, are we concerned with anyone else outside of our door? Sodom, it was said, didn't strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, that they didn't help the poor and the needy, that they were literally at their door, and yet they lived the life of the unconcerned about anyone but themselves. We need to pray for our nations, that God will give us a heart as a nation to be concerned for others and not only to be looking out for ourselves. We don't want to be guilty of Sodom's sin in that area, that we were so blessed by God and yet we only spent it on our own lusts instead of sharing with others. You may say, well, I'm not rich. I can't give a lot of money because I'm not a rich person. But the reality is that, and I can say this from the perspective of somebody that spends a lot of time in a third world country during the year, that most people who live in the United States, the vast majority, would be considered rich by lifestyle comparison to people in third world countries, just by the very fact that you have a roof over your head that is secure, that doesn't leak, that keeps you protected from the elements, the fact that you have running water and electricity available to you, the fact that you have transportation of any kind, that's rich compared to the vast majority of the world, and definitely in comparison to any third world nation. And so we need to have a perspective that's actually in touch with reality. And I say that because we need to be sensitive to the Lord and to the needs of other people, and ask the Lord, how can I use the blessings that you've given to me to be a blessing to others, so that I don't shut my heart out from helping the poor and needy as the Lord would direct you? That's what I want to encourage you this week. Pray about that. Ask the Lord, how can I be a blessing with the blessings with which you have blessed me? God bless you and give you a victorious week.